Okay, Amy, I'll hand it over to you.
Thanks so much, Kirby. I appreciate that. So you guys should have all received, so I know our meeting was a while back and a lot has happened since then, but you should have received the minutes by email. Do you guys have those minutes? Anyone?
This is Cheryl. I don't have them in front of me. If they were sent, I'm not in front of my computer right now.
I don't see them, but I'll look. And if I find them, I'll send them out again. This is Jan.
I've got them.
Okay.
Can we move those to the end of the meeting, Kirby?
Absolutely. We can come back towards the end. Sure.
So I guess we can go through the subcommittee report. I know we have someone new that's joining the region, and Jan, I didn't know if you wanted to do a bit of an introduction. Oh, you're muted, Jan.
There we go. Yeah. So Allie Cohn has joined us at Ridgeview as the Creating Homes Initiative person. Very excited. Allie, I can see a piece of your face if you want to wave. Do you want to say a few words?
Sure. I am Allie Cohn, like Jan said. I started about 5 or 6 weeks ago, and I was part-time at first, and I just started full-time because I just graduated from UT with my master's. Very excited. And so I'm just kind of starting to learn, and there's a lot that I don't know, and there's a lot that I don't know that I don't know. So I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Glad to have you.
Thanks, Allie. Congratulations, and it's exciting to be working with you in this capacity. And I'm sure we'll have some housing updates from you in the future.
This is Candace. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I also wanted to introduce a couple people that are new to our meeting. Jessica Carlton, who is our services coordinator under housing programming and homeless programming with McNabb, and then Amanda Millsaps, who's our new CHI2 regional housing facilitator. I think that's the way you say it. So they're on, if they would like to say a couple of words.
Hello, I'm Jessica Carlton. I supervise our military and homeless programming here at the Hillenostic NAP Center. I've been with Hillenostic NAP for 15 years, and we just recently were awarded the grant for CHI2 regional housing facilitator in for substance abuse. And so we've recently hired Amanda Millsaps. Amanda, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Amanda Millsaps. As everybody said, I was recently hired as the CHI2 regional housing facilitator. I graduated from UT, East Tennessee State University, and also Holy Cross in Boston, Massachusetts. I've been in academia, the military for 17 years, and also the clergy. And there's a lot to learn in this job. It's kind of like drinking out of a fire hose, but nevertheless, I'm excited about being here, and I look forward to working with each of you.
Great. Thank you guys so much. I apologize for missing you guys there. It's new to me, so I'm really excited to meet you all. Candace, do you also want to give us an update on our adult committee?
Well, I think we didn't meet, you know, before the planning meeting, council meeting today, because we had spent, you know, the time, you know, getting together the needs assessments that we submitted. So we did not meet today.
Thank you. Thanks. Mary, what about the Children and Youth Subcommittee?
We haven't met either since we submitted our needs assessment, but that's not unusual for us. We usually take a little bit of a break until summer, so we'll probably plan on reconvening either June or July.
Great. And is anybody on the A and B subcommittee?
This is Gina Steelmack. We haven't met either since submitting the needs assessment.
Thanks, Gina. And then, Ben, did you have an update for us on anything legislative from that subcommittee? You're muted. Hey, Kirby, can you try to unmute Ben?
Yeah, let me see here. Hold on 1 second. Okay, Ben, you're unmuted.
Thank you, goodness. Yeah, I kept clicking it and it wouldn't do it. All right, so from the legislative area, of course, you know, we all survived March. March was kind of a mess for things at the legislature. You know, I think it was the week of the 10th or so that everything got put on hold. All committees stopped functioning, so all progress on bills ceased, and the legislature switched over its focus to just push a budget through. Now, of course, it did that. What it also had to do, and this is, you know, I think a well fiscally managed scenario. The governor's office realized what was coming and what would happen if they didn't have the resources available. So they literally revised the budget real quickly and didn't keep in the budget for next year all the new spending that they had intended back when the governor's budget was first presented at the end of January. So that of course is hard for all of us because there was, you know, like $33 million coming to the department, and you know, the $250 million Children's Mental Health Trust Fund was going to be established by, you know, the budget approval action. And so it's hard to accept all that stuff. But at the same time, you know, you got to give credit where credit's due. You know, a lot of states are hurting right now and Tennessee's not. And that's because of some sound fiscal management. So all that said, there was intent in March for the legislature to circle back and come back into session in June, and I'm not quite sure if that's still the plan. If it does, then, of course, we'll have to revisit things with the legislature regarding the status of some bills that are out there. But also, you know, the legislature may be, in fact, revisiting budget whenever it does start to come back into session. The governor did indeed announce something to that effect in some media coverage yesterday that, you know, the budget is going to be very much a rolling target, and they may have to keep looking at revisions moving forward As the fiscal picture gets clearer, okay? Now, an issue that I do want to make sure folks are aware of, is not pertinent to this legislative committee for the Planning Council, but it is pertinent for folks to pay attention to at the national level. Speaker Pelosi filed a bill yesterday, I think it was, for the next COVID relief spending at the federal level, and it's really about support to the states. Now, the issue that has already risen its cute little head is some politicians are out there, you know, beating their drum saying, oh, we don't want to bail out blue states for mismanaging their money. Well, you know, we're not in a blue state. We're in a red state. And Tennessee has not mismanaged its money at all. In fact, it's one of the highest rated states with regards to its bond rating and fiscal responsibility and stuff like that. But yet still, COVID-19 has hammered the state. And the state is spending big money for testing all across the state with mobile testing centers and stuff like that, and, you know, masks and PPP equipment for all the mental health providers and health providers and stuff like that. So they're spending a lot of money. So this federal legislation could, if it got some traction, could return to Tennessee some spending or some dollars to help the state. And so what I would just ask of you is this. Know that bill has filed. Know that there are folks out there saying, oh, this is just going to help New York State or California or something like that. But read through the lines on that rhetoric and say, you know, here's the deal. It could help Tennessee, too. And Tennessee did not mismanage things, is extremely well managed. And, you know, we're having to deal with the COVID situation in Tennessee every day. And so just know that's out there. And if you can, speak in support of that bill. Okay?
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you.
And then just to clarify, Ben, our legislative subcommittee, after the legislative meeting that Mary Nell and I both attended, I think it was last week, our region did not submit any legislative proposals this round, correct?
You know, I don't know. I've been okay. Swamped with remote operations stuff. So sorry.
Of course. So there were three proposals that we heard, and Kirby, I know that you said you could provide us a legislative proposal update after your department update. And the ones that were submitted were from two from Region 4 and one from Region 6. Let's see. Kirby, do you want to do a legislative update after your department update?
I could do it now if you'd like.
Sure, that'd be great. Thank you.
Okay, hold on one second. Let me pull up this document. Okay, so like Amy said, we did have our legislative committee meeting. It took place last Thursday, May 7th, and we had a total of three proposals submitted, two from Region 4 and one from Region 6. Typically, legislative proposals are due the first week in June, typically June 1st, but we were notified in late February, early March from the governor's office that the deadline had moved up a month. So legislative proposals were due May 1st. So it was a change for all of us, for sure. But we did have three proposals that were submitted. The three proposals were from Region 4, Region 6, involuntary commitment for alcohol and drug treatment. In the proposal, it was a request to provide for involuntary commitment to a residential drug and alcohol treatment program for a minimum of a 5-day evaluation. After discussing, you know, different like outline criteria for qualification, guidelines, individual civil rights, transportation, et cetera, the committee decided that more work needed to be done to this proposal before it could move forward. So that was tabled until next year, and they're working on creating a work group to kind of, you know, flesh out all the details on that before looking at it again. From Region 4, there was a workforce shortage survey request. So the legislative proposal was a request to implement additional survey questions to be added to existing healthcare professional licensure renewal surveys. The committee discussed this as well and realized there's more departments that need to be involved in this, not just mental health and substance abuse services. So this was decided to not move forward as a legislative proposal, and more work needed to be brought to this proposal as well. And the last proposal submitted was also from Region 4, and the request was reducing stigma through changing the department's name. The request was to change the department's name from Tennessee Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services to Tennessee Department of Mental Health and Substance Use Services. This was recommended by the legislative committee to move forward to be reviewed by Commissioner Williams. That's the next step. Zach Blair will meet with Commissioner Williams to discuss this recommendation, and then a follow-up meeting will be held typically in June or July to discuss what the results of that meeting were. That meeting also took place via WebEx and is on the department website for public viewing. So if anyone's interested, check out the department website and you can listen to that meeting and the discussions that took place, because that was just a brief summary. I think it was an hour and a half long meeting. So if you're interested, please check that out.
Hi, Kirby.
Yes, ma'am.
For the minute, can you repeat I know what the current name of the department is, but what was the new name proposed?
It was changing, the request was to change it from substance abuse to substance use services.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Kirby. Do you want to provide us with any other updates from the department?
Sure, I'll do my department update. Okay, let me pull this up. Okay, so we have a few updates to present since the last time we met, all exciting. The first, I don't know if the first one's as exciting, but it's exciting to me because I worked on it and I'm glad it's done. So the first update is the February report of the three-year plan. Year one, fiscal year 2020, has been completed and shared with regional council leadership. If you're interested in viewing this document, please contact your regional council chair, vice chair, or secretary to view, or you can reach out to me as well, and I'd be happy to share that with you. The next update, the department is receiving a $10 million federal grant to take behavioral services to the rural Tennesseans who need them the most. The funding will be spread over 5 years and will fund a pair of mobile health clinics to address the behavioral health and physical health needs of residents in 10 rural Tennessee counties. The counties served by the mobile health clinics are clustered in Middle Tennessee, Lawrence, Lewis, Marshall, Perry, and Wayne counties, and in East Tennessee, Claiborne, Cock, Granger, Hancock, and Jefferson counties. Counties were chosen based on distress status and need for services. The department will be doing this work in partnership with community behavioral health providers, Buffalo Valley, and Hellenross McNabb Center. The goals of Project Rural Recovery are to create a model of care in rural Tennessee that unites primary care and behavioral health and to engage and treat Tennesseans who are underserved by current service delivery methods. Once fully implemented, the goal of the program is to serve about 2,000 Tennesseans at about 4,800 clinic visits per year. The department is proud to add 5 new Lifeline peer project coordinators in rural and distressed areas of the state. The new Lifeliners will be based in Cock, Grundy, Lauderdale, McNary, and Scott counties. Through the Lifeline Peer Project, people with lived experience of addiction and at least 2 years in recovery use their past to help people overcome the disease of addiction. Since the program started in 2014, Lifeliners have connected more than 9,000 people with treatment resources and have helped create more than 600 community recovery support meetings. The department is also excited to announce the expansion of a successful program to divert people from jail into mental health treatment services. Pathways Behavioral Health, Volunteer Behavioral Health Care System, and Morgan County Government have been recommended for grants through the Pre-Arrest Diversion Infrastructure Capital Grants Program. Grant recommendations were made by the department in consultation with the Department of Finance and Administration and will be administered by the Department of General Services. After approval by the State Building Commission, each of the three grantees will receive $500,000 to implement the program they designed for their communities. Designs include for Pathways Behavioral Health, crisis services including a walk-in center and crisis stabilization unit located in Humboldt to connect clients to treatment and services for Gibson, Crockett, Dyer, Obion, Lake, Weekly, Benton, Carroll, and Haywood counties. For Volunteer Hiawassee Mental Health Center, crisis services will be expanded to include a 24/7 walk-in center with observation and respite services located in Cleveland to serve Bradley and surrounding counties. And for Morgan County Government, in partnership with Ridgeview Behavioral Health, Facility for Co-located Community Services in Wartburg. Lastly, the department is seeking proposals from community behavioral health agencies interested in providing school-based behavioral health liaisons in their community. The primary goal of the school-based behavioral health liaison program expansion is to provide recurring funds for up to 59 new school-based behavioral health liaison positions to assist elementary, middle, or high schools in implementing behavioral health services and supports that improve outcomes for students with social emotional disturbance or who are at risk of developing mental health or substance use disorder. Proposals are due by June 1st, 2020. There's a link for more information for this proposal on the department website, and I have it included in my department update that I'm going to share with Chris, so it'll be a part of the minutes. I do want to say there were quite a few regions who requested both mental health and on the mental health side and the substance abuse side for more school-based behavioral health liaison positions or substance abuse or mental health prevention programs. So this is really exciting. And that's all I have.
That's fantastic. Thanks so much, Kirby. Does anybody have any questions for Kirby?
Hey, Amy, this is Kurt. Kirby did a great job with the update. I just wanted to piggyback on a couple of things that Ben said. He did a great job of updating everybody on the legislative stuff. The legislature is planning on being back. I think they're going to start committee meetings the last week of May, and they're going to be back in session, full session, the first week of June. They're still trying to figure out how they're going to meet in big groups and stuff like that. But just wanted y'all to be aware that there will be some legislating going on during that time period. Don't know how long they'll go. I don't know if they've decided, the leadership in the House and Senate have decided about what topics they want to take up, if they just want to do essential bills and relook at the budget based on the new revenue projections. But as a planning and policy council, y'all need to be aware that there might be decisions that are being made. So keep alert on that front as they meet the last week of May into the first week of June, and who knows how long beyond that. It's also very good to hear everybody's voices. Thanks so much for continuing to meet and continuing to provide the services that y'all provide and the advocacy that y'all provide. It is not going unnoticed. There's a lot of people that are very thankful that Region 2 and all the other regions and the people that y'all represent are continuing to act as business as usual and getting people the help they need. So thank you.
Thanks, Kurt. I feel like you kind of knew what was going to happen here by, in February, scheduling a meeting for August. So, I don't know. It seemed to work out. So,
that's right.
I wanted to, we've gone over the legislative pieces, but I wanted to go over our, review our needs assessment and what we submitted for Region 2. So we had our two mental health needs. And we had our two substance use needs. Well, before I go into that, I've also just emailed you guys the minutes from the last meeting. If you didn't have them, did everyone get that? We can probably, can we review those and approve by email after this so people don't have to read it right now? Can you hear me? We hear something. I got it on. I did. It's all clean.
Someone's not muted.
Okay. Can we approve those after?
Yes, just make sure you include it in the minute. Okay. A motion to approve.
Okay. Thank you. Hey, can you guys check to see if you're all muted? Okay. So we had our two mental health needs that we submitted and our two substance use needs that were submitted. So our first mental health need was to enhance the children and youth crisis continuum by embedding social workers and psychiatrists within emergency departments who can provide assessments, complete referrals, and prescribe medications as needed in order to decrease wait times for inpatient admissions. And so they provided some data there. And we can, did you guys all receive the final versions of these? I can email that out after as well. I apologize for not getting that to you before today's meeting. Our second mental health need was to increase funding of grant-funded services to allow for salary increases in order to mitigate the loss of trained professionals to higher-paying industries. I know this is something that was also submitted from the statewide, a statewide adult subcommittee, not just our regional as well. And then for substance use, our first one was to increase funding to establish residential and detox treatment beds for both insured and uninsured in order to align services with the demands of the community. And our second one was to provide, we didn't have a second one. We just had the three, correct?
No, you had four.
Instead of four. Oh, we did.
You had four.
So our fourth one was to provide data on drug-exposed babies and children outside of NAS guidelines in order to develop a full spectrum of treatment and intervention for this population. So that one is a one that we have also submitted in the past. I think a couple of these we've submitted in the past as well. Do you guys have any questions about them? Or anybody that was a part of those discussions want to provide any additional insight?
Nope. Sounds good.
All right. I'll make sure to send out a copy of that final version to you all as well to when we're asking for approval of those minutes. So does anybody have any announcements or updates that they want to give the group?
I'll do one. It's Chris. TENNAD, which is the Tennessee chapter for National Association of Dual Diagnosis, which is somebody with a mental health issue and an intellectual or developmental disability, our conference is going virtual this year. It is going to be in August On the 20th, we're getting it set up to be a Zoom conference, but our focus this year is going to be some riskier topics that we haven't touched on before. Substance abuse with people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, and things like alcohol use, medical marijuana, sexuality, things like that that can be real touchy subjects, especially for families of those persons. But we're in the process of finalizing how we're going to do this Zoom because we have not done a Zoom conference before. But it's exciting, and we're going to get it done. And Commissioner Williams is going to be our opening speaker for that.
Okay. Chris, when is that? What date?
August the 20th.
Thank you.
We should be getting something out soon. We're just getting we've got to tie all this stuff in with Zoom. So, and apparently this year, because Zoom has had such a demand for stuff, you cannot get a personal assistant from Zoom to help you. You just get kind of sideline help. So we're doing it, but we're doing it a little bit slower than if we had a personal assistant helping us on how to do it.
Thanks.
But we hope to have breakfast open June 1st.
Thanks, Chris. Anybody else? I have a couple updates. Well, I don't know so much that they're updates. There's an upcoming training that'll happen in July on, it'll be an ethics training for those in business development, very specific to providers. But then also just on the health department side, I just want you guys all to be aware that the Department of Health has provided the Knox County Health Department with masks for the public. And so we are handing those out. And of course, anybody can call into our information line and find out answers to any questions they might have, which includes all of you, or you guys can just give me a call, as well as if people need testing. So whatever I can do for you guys during this time, especially from the health department side, please don't hesitate to ask. How's everybody doing with everything that's going on? Anything that you guys want to discuss or need some assistance with?
Amy, I'd like to say something if I could. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, I want to thank you, Amy, for your help with working with the mayors on Mental Health Month. Mayor Jacobs did a very nice video that was released on Friday regarding Mental Health Month, and keep an eye out for him to release more things over the next few weeks. The city is also supporting Mental Health Month, and they did order the Henley Street walkway bridge, the pedestrian bridge that connects to the convention center, to have the lights turned green. And that attempt last night was sort of kind of problematic. Part of the bridge is green, part of the bridge is blue, so we don't know what the deal is there and whether they'll get that fixed. But that's something that we're thankful for. There is news out of Chattanooga, and I'll share it with you because we posted it on our Facebook page. A musician who took his life a few years ago, the band has released a new single and has made it available on Play It Forward so that the proceeds of the downloads can go to the Mental Health Association of East Tennessee. And so that did $1,200 in the very first day it was released. So we're pretty pumped about that. And then keep checking Facebook because, you know, all of the shutdown has made things change, and tons of good content being posted by McNabb Center and TSPN and NAMI, of course, the MHA. So stay focused on all that stuff. Lots of good content to support your peeps.
Thanks, Ben.
Hello.
I'd like to say something. It's Kubra here.
Oh.
Go ahead.
We hear you, Kubra.
This is probably the seventh WebEx regional meeting. Kirby, hello again. And I love that I can see those people who are on video because it's like therapy. We are so secluded at the moment. I don't get out. I don't see anybody. This is a very nice reason to get dressed and brush my hair, put lipstick on, and see all of you. I think it's very good. I highly recommend, Kirby, we should do this with the other regions as well.
Absolutely. Thank you. Anybody else?
Cheryl, can you hear me?
Yes.
So I just wanted to say I'm just really pleased at how it's been working out at our peer support centers in Knox, Blount, and Sevier. People have really been appreciating the conference call support groups, educational groups, and one-on-one sessions. We've had people who've never worked on goals, working on goals. We're on exercise group. People are keeping exercise logs. We're making face masks tomorrow. We mailed them all materials, and we'll be making those no-snow masks. And it's just been really wonderful to see how people's spirits are up. We're not having problems with people feeling isolated, and I'm just really grateful that the department has allowed us to do it this way. Some people are saying they'd like a mix in the future because a lot of times people can't participate for childcare or other reasons. So it's going really well, and I'm sure that with Ben's got a lot of experience with this. So, but anyway, I just wanted to pass that on. Thank you all. Good to see you.
Hey, Amy, I've got something else I'd like to mention, if I could.
Uh-huh.
So our call center has had a pretty significant swing upwards in call volume since this has started, and that's kind of made our call center staff into the superheroes we already knew they were, but working longer hours, serving more clients. And interestingly enough, the clients we had in our past have had their behavioral health needs increase dramatically. So instead of, you know, a once a week peer support session, it's, you know, ramped up and has now become like 5 days a week for some folks. And so that's a significant change, and not one, of course, that's sustainable in the long run. But it's one of those things that's extremely important in the short term to try to keep folks safe and at home in the community. So the other thing I would like to mention is it's still about those call center superheroes that we have. The department is doing something really cool, and it's recognizing Tennessee heroes across the state. And our call center folks were the heroes announced in their 10 o'clock post last night. So if you've got heroes at your agency that are doing terrific work or working, you know, beyond their scope, that sort of thing, take their picture, write up a good description of what's going on, and send it to Matthew Perio at the department. I'm sure they'd love to brag about what you are doing and the good work of your staff.
Hey, this is Kurt again. I just want to echo that, and I'd like to nominate the hero who muted Ben's phone earlier in this call. Hopefully they can be recognized.
Uh,
I will remember that, brother.
Just
Kurt.
Kidding, man. Just kidding.
Yeah. I used to like you.
This is Avis. This is Avis. Thanks, Ben, for bringing that up as far as sending any really, really good news to Matthew Perriott. We are encouraging all of our regions to, as councils, if you are doing anything as a council as well regarding any upcoming days like mental health awareness, anything of that nature that you do as a group, or if this council actually participates in an event that's held by someone else, please send it to Matthew Perriott, send it to us, because we want to hear about the good things that the regions are doing. Also, we include information that the regions are doing in our joint annual report every year to the governor and the General Assembly. As many of you know, that we've been doing that for quite a long time. Just keep those things in mind, but I appreciate being mentioned and things like that, because we do want to know about all the good things that you are doing in your individual agencies and regions. With that said, I'm going to kind of divert back to something that we just talked about a little bit earlier. Amy, with the minutes, I just want to make sure that we have accurate record of if the group is going to review those by email. We need a first and second motion to approve, and also make sure that you have a quorum and documentation of those minutes that were approved via email should be included in your meeting minutes. Just wanted to make sure we're clear on the process for that. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. We need a motion to approve them by email?
Yes.
Because
the same process that if you were reviewing and approving those during the meeting, you would need a first and second motion to approve those as written, and then to make sure, ensure that you have a quorum to do so for that approval to be confirmed in the minutes. So if you're going to do it outside of this meeting, I want to just make sure that we follow those same processes. Also, Amy, just a thought, everybody might not have access to it right now if you're not in front of your computer, but if everyone does and we have enough time, you could take a few minutes of the meeting for people to read it and then do it while we're on the call. But if everybody doesn't have access to it right now, I totally understand that. So the email communication will be sufficient.
Did you all receive that email? Do you guys want to take a few minutes now?
Yes.
Perfect.
Amy, who was the email from?
I included it in the invite for this meeting, so it'll be, I attached it to the calendar invite.
Okay, great, thanks.
Dana, make a motion to approve.
Second.
Didn't get them. So.
Do you want to vote in Qualtrics or in Cisco?
I missed that. I'm sorry.
Do we now just need a or is the motion first and second sufficient?
What's that? I'm only hearing like half of what you guys are saying.
Do we have to vote now?
We have a first and a second?
Yes.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Read it.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
Thank you, Amy.
No, thank you for that suggestion. I appreciate that. Anything else that you guys want to discuss today? Any updates? I think one thing we left out was the NAMI virtual walk that's happening at the end of the month. I don't have the information, but I know that that's I don't have it with me, but I can send it out if any of you would like more information on that. And then what I can do, I will email you guys with the information about our next meeting, as well as the final version of the needs that we submitted, and a copy of these minutes, of course, so you guys can make sure to have those prior to the next meeting. I apologize for all of the transitions today, but thank you guys for bearing with me. Anything else?
Amy.
All right. Great to see you guys. Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys.
It's been like a year or two.
I know. It has. Hey, everyone.
Hi. Oh. Yay. It's Matt.
Good to see everyone's face and hear your voices. Hope everyone's being safe and healthy.
See you.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye, everyone.
Is that it?
All right.
Thanks, everybody. Bye,
everybody. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.